ask me to be perfect. I wouldn't put that weight on you. I know I'm rough around the edges. They've been bitten, spit and chewed. Oh, honeybee, you're waiting like a guardian for me. Trust you with that noble little blade. After my 20 years, there's a lot for you to hear. So would you hold me like the atmosphere would wrap around a flower? I will bloom in your hand like a Blue Ridge Mountain glen. Oh honeybee, be patient while I open out. I used to love the rain, but didn't feel it turn to hail. And I was numb against her wind until the passing of the gale. Oh honeybee, I'm asking for a little bit of room. Fighting off the instinct not to bloom. After my 20 years, there's a lot for you to hear. Would you hold me like the atmosphere would wrap around a flower? I will bloom in your hand like a Blue Ridge Mountain glen. Oh, honeybee, be patient while I open out. Honeybee, be patient while I open out.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me. This was an amazing opportunity. So fun to be here.
My pleasure. And now it's time for On the Town with Mikey D. So here is the theme. I'll be here for another 3 hours with all local music. In about 30 minutes, I will be joined by Bulio to talk about his new project. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Everybody would hear us.
Everyone would.
I'm feeling so good.
Can you do a bridge, Paul?
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna go to tea. One day we're gonna control Boston.
Yeah, right.
And we'll get calls from even Brookline, too. Maybe someone in South Yarmouth. Would want to hear they might be giants too. So much talent is wasted.
Always so wasted.
'Cause no one can hear us at all. But MFO is 18 years now.
Almost 20.
And 6 feet tall.
Oh yeah, right.
We could be really awesome.
We could be so awesome.
And we'd really rule.
Yeah, we'd really rule.
And everyone would hear us.
You know they all could hear us.
In all. Wait to cart this off.
Welcome, welcome. This is Mellow Max. You're listening to On the Town with Mikey D here on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. We're going to be starting off the next 3 hours of all local music with Hallway.
Thank you.
Free, 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 I wanna be free. Free, 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 I wanna be free. Free, 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 I got to be free. It takes a guy like you to make a woman like me wanna sing a song like this. You know
leaving nothing but a dissipating vapor trail.
We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Statue, and you're on the town with Mikey D on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford.
That was just Carlo Tacchi with Kill My Landlord off of the 2022 album Memento Mori. Before that, Girl with a Hawk with I'm in Love with My Friends, Power Slut with Burrito Baby, Gymnasium with It's Just Beginning, and Robin Lane with Man Like You. And now I'm here with Bulio. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay, all right.
Sorry to put you on the spot.
It's all right.
But you're flipping through the PSA book, which is very important to do.
Yes.
So in the meantime, how about I play Martial Law?
Yeah, sure.
Awesome. Do you want to tell us a little bit about it first, or?
Yeah, I mean, it's very self-descriptive. It's just, it's like a vignette. Honestly, it's just kind of what I feel the I'm really bad at explaining. This is like the one that's, it is just vibes. It's just kind of like, it's a horror story essentially.
Cool. Well, let's check it out. We'll be back. Spoilers. We'll get there. But that was very cool. That was definitely vibes. So that was called Martial Law. What genre would you say that was?
Ben music.
Ben music.
Whenever I make my music, I can't really think in terms of genres. Unless, well, it depends on what I'm making, because sometimes I do. But like stuff like this, it's just like I kind of just don't think and I make it. And I like that I can't really think of what to compare it to.
Yeah. What was your creative process like to make it?
Honestly, really interesting. It started off at, so like last year, I'll condense it, but essentially I was trying to learn how to use Ableton, mainly because Serum 2 just came out, which is like a software synth that I'm very fond of. I use Serum 1 a lot, and I was trying to make this, I want to make something like really pretty. So I was obsessed with bossa nova at the time. So I grabbed this Lisa Ona sample, like a chorus sample, and I plugged it into the granulizer synth section of the synthesizer. And every time, no matter what I did to it, it just sounded off and just sounded kind of creepy. And then I got kind of upset because like I had all these ideas for this beautiful song I was going to make. And I totally forgot because I just pigeonholed myself working on trying to make this one part work. And then so I saved the project, closed it. And then I just kind of kept thinking on it. And I was like, I can make this work. I was like, I just decided to lean into the fact that it just sounded really creepy and off-putting. And then I was like, what if I just make it more creepy and more off-putting and I add more to it and make the drums not sync up with the backing and all that. So yeah, that's just how that came about.
Very cool. Yeah. Crazy sounds. And so Panopticon is the jail, right? With the
all-seeing eye. Yeah. The center, where no matter, you're always being watched.
And where did that name come from for this project?
I wish I could say it was cool. I just needed to think of something, and I was like, I thought that idea of that was really creepy, and like it does kind of fall under the whole theme of the album, which is this kind of dystopian like end of the world. And I don't know, I just feel like that is kind of like indicative of, especially in this country where we're going, this all-seeing presence that's kind of shadowing over all of us.
Yeah, and especially with like martial law. And what's the other track that's out as a single? It's called
Summer Finality.
Whoa. And we'll just have to wait and see what that's about. We will get there. But yeah, how long have you been making music?
Overall, we're coming up on year... Hold on. Yeah, year 3.
Very cool.
I started... I initially started a little bit... I mean, I've always had a relationship with music. Like, I was in band growing up. I did marching band. And I kind of...
What'd you play?
I played xylophone.
Oh, nice.
I was, like, pretty good at it, but we just played music I hated. Like, I didn't like any of the stuff we played. And then because I wasn't good at that, they wouldn't let me do jazz club. So I just kind of ended up quitting. But first year of college, I got a pirated copy of FL Studio from someone I had met. I started working on stuff. But I had mostly been doing, you know, I went to school for game design, and I was like, I shouldn't be working on music because I'm never going to make money that way. Well, unfortunately, you can't make money in game design anyway, so I learned it the hard way. But anyways, 3 years ago, my friend Nick, we just started hanging out. We knew each other in college, we never really hung out, but we reconnected. And every time he came over, he just started installing stuff on my computer. He installed FL Studio, and then he just kind of like gave me the tools. And then one day, I was having a really bad day at my job. I was working on remote on this game, and I was stuck, and I felt like just total imposter syndrome. And I just sat down and I just started making stuff, and it was so addicting. It was the best feeling ever. Mm-hmm. And I just kept chasing that feeling. And I was, you know, it's been 3 years now and I'm still doing it.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. And your previous release is also pretty out there, and it's been a while since I've listened to it, but I remember enjoying it. Split. Right.
Yeah. That one, and that was like a year. I started that almost immediately when I started making music. I don't know. It just came together.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. And what have you been listening to
lately? I mean, I'm always all over the place, but lately I've been like obsessed with Schlagenheim by Black Midi. That first album they put out. There's something about it that is just like, I think it's just so insane and psychotic. And like, I love how unabashedly like just insane the whole thing is, like especially the lyrical content and the stuff they're talking about. Like, it genuinely, like, it just sounds like a schizophrenic man was put in front of a keyboard for like an entire studio session. And I like how just there's nothing, it's like one of those albums that like you can't compare it, like I can't make any comparison to. It's such its own thing. Yeah. That like I, you know, I can't listen to anything else but that.
I don't know if I've listened to their first album. I will have to track it down.
It's so good.
Yeah. But the way that you were describing it reminded me of, are you familiar with Wesley Willis?
No, I'm not.
He was a schizophrenic street performer in Chicago in the 90s, and record execs heard him, and they're like, hey, do you want a record deal? So that's, they literally, someone did that.
That's insane.
Speaking of, yeah, just getting a schizophrenic person and putting him on a keyboard for a studio session.
I'd love to hear that. I'm sure that sounds so, like, interesting.
Yeah. He has a track, one of his biggest tracks is called Rock and Roll McDonald's.
No way, that's the guy?
Yeah, you know that guy?
Yeah, I know that song.
Of course.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why his music sounds like that.
I didn't realize he had a record deal. I thought that was like a guy on YouTube or something.
No. That was, yeah. I mean, that album came out in 1995.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
And also other hits like, I can't say that on air, but I whipped Batman's butt, also Suck a Caribou's butt. And the other ones, I really just like, there's not much that I can do to censor them. There's F U, and then there's, yeah. Anyway, there's one called Zappa Dave Grohl.
Inspired.
Yeah. Cut the mullet, the chicken cow. Yeah. So genius music.
I'm going to have to sit down and listen to that.
Yeah. It's not like hidden either. It's the first sentence of his bio. Wesley Willis was a schizophrenic street singer who built up a small cult following with his bizarre three chord rants. Yeah, discovered in the early 90s. Smashing Pumpkins and Pearl Jam were into him, which makes sense.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. Crazy.
Eddie Vent was it, not Eddie, what's his last name? It starts with a V, right?
Yeah, in Pearl Jam, that's Veeder.
Veeder, yeah. No, yeah. He was a crazy man. He had some songs out there that I was like, what?
Yeah.
I can see him being inspired.
Vetter.
Vetter. Eddie Vetter, yes. My friend Jules hates that man.
Yeah. Jules, I played Jules. Jules?
Yes, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
I played something from something by Jules earlier.
Oh, nice.
Yes. Yeah.
Love to see it.
Yes. Another great Boston musician lost to New York.
I know. They'll all come crawling back eventually.
Oh, yeah.
I tell myself.
Well, I always tell them, like, you know, Boston's not going anywhere. Do your thing. We'll be here.
I think it takes a very particular mindset to go to New York, but I think a lot of people underestimate. I mean, I'm saying this as someone who doesn't live there, so maybe I'm full of it, but just from the few times I was there, I don't know, I feel like you have to really... You gotta be a little crazy, you know? You're competing with so many people. And it's like, not everyone's out to, like, the way it sounds, like, my friend Cam's mom was like, you know, an artist in Boston back in the 80s, and when it had, apparently had a music scene. Mm-hmm. And the way she described it was like, I was like, oh, that sounds awesome, you know? Like, it must be nice to have support. But she's like, no, it sucked. Everyone was at each other's throats, you know? Everyone was trying to undercut each other because it was so competitive. And I was
right.
Like, that doesn't sound fun at all. That sounds like, makes me not want to make music.
Yeah, like with Aerosmith and the other like big acts coming out of Boston. Yeah. Because back then people were competing with each other to get record deals.
Yeah.
Whereas now no one expects to get one. And no one's gonna.
Yeah, it is weird. It's like a kind of like a bittersweet sort of thing. You know, it sucks that, you know, there's not more money, but I do like the kind of community that the situation has cultivated. Like, I like how, you know, we can go to these shows and run into the same people, and everyone's just so buddy-buddy with each other.
There actually is a Rock and Roll McDonald's, I was just told. It is the original Rock and Roll McDonald's. Yeah.
That wasn't the original?
Wait. Well, no. They're like there's not just a McDonald's, there is a specific Rock and Roll McDonald's.
Oh.
Which is a flagship McDonald's. Looks crazy. Look at that architecture.
What is it? Oh, it's a building. Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought you were talking about another song.
Yeah. There is like a McDonald's flagship restaurant.
Was that also in Chicago?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Maybe that's where he got inspired.
That must be. Yeah. So now you know. I was like, I don't know what that song's about, but now I do. Thank you, thank you.
That's where they put the pounds on you.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, crazy, crazy, crazy music. So, it's no longer a rock-themed restaurant, but it was once, unfortunately. Or fortunately. Fortunately, it was. Unfortunately, it's no longer.
Oh, we got to bring back themed restaurants. Save Rainforest Cafe.
Yeah. Oh, is that... Are there any?
Yeah, I think they're still around. Okay, they are slowly dying.
Yeah, yeah.
It needs to be privately owned. We can't have, like, any private equity or, like... It needs to be, like, a family business. That's the only way it'll stay afloat.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But then also, that makes it harder to stay afloat, too. Easier and harder.
Yeah. Yes and no. I don't know.
I think it's harder to franchise.
Yeah, it's harder to expand. But, like, I think you can keep it running. Because the problem with, like, modern, you know, restaurant chains is, like, you know, it's this idea of... problem with capitalism in general in this country, which is, like, you have to keep, you know, infinite growth. And it gets to a point where it's like you can't make more restaurants, you can't sell more food, so then you start making the food bad, which then means people just stop coming, and then the restaurant closes. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
If you have a family running it, you can accept to be like, all right, this is the most money we're going to make from this. And you just keep it running, and you have a nice little steady source of income.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep, that's a good model. A realistic model. Exponents are scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who are your top musical influences?
Off the top of my head, I have so many, but I would say like one of the, I would say Flying Lotus is a big one. Let's see, Flying Lotus, Injury Reserve, Palm, and at least from like my weird stuff, because I also like to make like really pretty sounding like synthwave stuff. And there's this guy Home. You've definitely heard one of his songs before, because all his stuff is royalty free. Back in the day, I don't know if you remember Simpsons Wave when that was a thing.
Maybe vaguely.
No? it was people were making edits of like Simpsons episodes to like these vaporwave songs. It was funny as hell. Oh, that's not is that a bad?
I think that one's okay.
Okay, all right. It was really funny, but I just fell in love with his music, and I think it's like the most beautiful stuff out there. I just, something about it, it just, I don't know, it makes my heart feel full. I'm trying to think of what else. I mean, lately also, it's still like not to heart, Black Midi is definitely one of them, but also that Jordy Greep album. I am obsessed with it. I really want to make, I would love to make an album like that one day. I don't know if I'll ever be capable, but I'm so far behind on the music grind compared to everyone else, but maybe when I'm like 40.
Yeah, I listened to that album soon after it came out, and that was awesome, wild. I'm also searching on my phone for, before you started making music, you did release a YouTube video with some music that really impressed me, which was your medley.
My medley?
Or was it like, what was it? I know that I sent it to one of my friends. And I was like, "Yo, check this out."
I'd made two kind of music video ones. Is it in like black and white, or is it of color?
So thirsty. That is that. Yeah, it was that one. Yeah. Yeah.
my smash montage.
Yeah. Can I play that on air?
Yeah, I mean, it's just Neil Cicerega. That's the song.
Oh, is it someone's song?
Yeah, it's he's from Somerville, actually. Oh. I think he still lives in Somerville, too. I'm pretty
local
sure.
Local music, perfect.
He's actually, I mean, he's not a music influence, but he's a general creative influence for me. I would say he's one of my biggest influences creatively. He's kind of the reason I got into doing so many different things. You know, he was kind of an idol for me. He did Potter Puppet Pals. He did a lot of random animations. He made music. I don't know. I just thought that was fascinating, that someone could do so many different things, and it really inspired me to want to branch out and do all these different sort of creative like hobbies. Shout out Neil Cicerega.
See, here I was thinking that was your song.
No, I'm not that talented. No. That was he's also actually no. I will say he is a bit of a music influence, because I don't know if you ever heard of his mouth sounds or
no.
It's like a series of joke albums, but it's seriously like impressive sampling. It's really, really, really solid, solid stuff. Like, and that kind of got me interested in sampling, because he took AC/DC and mixed it with A Thousand Miles, and it works somehow.
Whoa. Do you know the name of that?
Track? If you look up mouth, I think it's mouth. Yeah, mouth sounds. Hold on, I can check real quick.
Mouth sounds. There we go. Oh, is it the one that's called? I feel like there's a pun in here, but I need to get the joke.
Oh, sorry, mouth moods. My bad. Mouth sounds is all is entirely. What's that? What's that band? The Shrek band.
Smash Mouth.
Yeah, it's all Smash Mouth remixes.
Okay, Mouth Moods EP.
Yes. It is. Oh man, I actually don't remember.
Well, we can come back to it.
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh, he also made Bustin'. That's a great one.
Yeah, that was him too.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, no. You know what? I have a better one. Wallspin. Yeah. Wallspin is a seriously impressive remix.
Cool. Let's see. Wallspin.
Also, what's up, Piper? My friends are listening.
Wallspin by Neil. All right, I found it. We're going to listen to this, and we will be back in a few minutes.
I don't believe.
the beginning of another remix by him. That was crazy.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Blown your mind.
And local. Awesome. Love it. Let's see. I'm gonna look into my question list. I'm gonna dig deep. I'm gonna hit you with something strange.
All right. You want me to read that PSA?
Oh yeah, go for it, please.
All right. I feel like this is thematically fits. All right. PSA, know your cell phone rights. Whether you're taking your cell phone with you on a walk, in your car, or through a civil protest, you should know your legal rights. The U.S. Supreme Court unanimously ruled that police must obtain a warrant to search a person's cell phone. However, a phone without a passcode can be readily searched by anybody holding it. And a Virginia court recently ruled that a defendant can be compelled to unlock a device that's protected only by a fingerprint sensor. So consider using a key code password and you're setting your phone screen to lock very quickly when no one is using it, particularly if you expect to be in a potential volatile situation. While the police can't legally force you to unlock your phone, they can ask you to, and if you do that, you've forfeited your rights. The correct answer to a cop's request to search you, your vehicle, or your phone is, "No, officer, I do not consent to a search. Thank you." Finally, remember that the police can always ask a judge for a search warrant, so think carefully about what's stored on your phone, including photos, contacts, and app data. You can learn more about your rights from the Electronic Frontier Foundation on the web at EFF.org.
Awesome. Good to know. Yeah. If you could name a street, what would you want to name it?
Bingus.
Nice. When you're working on music, do you have any specific snacks that you'd like to have with you?
Yes, although I'm trying to change my habits because they're really bad, but I really like fruit roll-ups. I go to the store that's like literally less than like 30 feet from my apartment. I think this is why this has happened. I walk in and I get a strawberry fruit roll-up and I get a berry fruit roll-up because they're 75 cents. And then I get an Arizona fruit punch. Ooh. And then that's sitting on my desk. I'm unraveling these and I'm slowly, you know, unrolling it and kind of, I don't know how to describe it, you know, like letting it fall down, then kind of sucking and chewing it up like a spaghetti. You know, that sustains me, you know. I gotta stop
doing
it. You
don't need hands for it, and it just keeps going.
Yeah, exactly. I can play the piano. I can, yeah, like, do all my stuff on the computer and not have to worry. It's, yeah, great. The hands-free snack. And they should sponsor me. That'd be great. Come out, get really big, and then 1 year I come out and I'm covered in fruit roll-ups, and then the crowd has to eat it off of me or something.
It's like Lady Gaga's meat dress. Both fruit roll-ups.
You're so right.
You heard it first here, folks. If your life was a sitcom, what would the theme be?
I don't know. The theme? If it was a sitcom, like this, in what way?
Well, it could be either like the theme song, or it could be like that song that plays for dramatic effect, or just for comedic effect, for effect at various points. Like, think about like the bass riffs in Seinfeld.
Can I steal it from another show? Because there's one. Go for it. I love Uncle Ruckus's theme from The Boondocks. It's so funny. Every time I hear it, it just makes me giggle. Just like the out of tune like tuba horn. The
yeah. Oh, this is vaguely. I haven't watched Boondocks in years. Vaguely coming back. That's a show that and Black Dynamite are on my rewatch list.
They're so good. I was, yeah, about to get really explicit with my love for it. Aaron McGruder is a, like, even outside of his work, he's like genuinely a, like, kind of a prophet. I don't know, but his political activism and like the stuff he talks about is like so relevant. Actually, one of the songs on the EP samples a speech that he made that about media control. And he was talking about this in 2003 about media consolidation. And there was like a particular quote he had that really stuck with me, where he talks about, if Martin Luther King was born today and he was in his 20s, you would have no idea who he was because he'd never get on TV. Like, that's like the essentially like how our media landscape works. You know, back in like the 60s and 50s, you know, you could get around through word of mouth. You know, we had a bunch of independent press, but now everything's owned by like 10 people. And it goes through committees and all that sort of stuff. But I don't know. Yeah, a lot of stuff just in that show he was so right about, and it's very topical and still very relevant.
Which is interesting given how like decentralized our media landscape has also become more recently. But yeah, it's an interesting point.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, I don't know if Martin Luther King was on TikTok.
Would he be doing like the glizzy challenges?
Oh my God. That
like, yeah. 10 days to the march.